Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Friday prayer. So Rosemary, Lou and Joan kind of coordinate Friday morning prayer, and it's a great way to get around other people who are at different stages of their faith as well, but just to come and pray and spend time with God and with others who are here for the same purpose. And for me, I found a great way to, I guess, not learn, but to, I guess, catch how other people pray and, I guess, form my own prayer life by being around others is really good and encouraging too. So I'll go a little bit, talk a little bit about power of prayer, and then invite Rosemary up, and then we'll have a little bit of time at the end for about 10 minutes or so, just for us to be still. And as much as we've kind of talked about things and heard new things, maybe for some of us, or been reminded of things, I think it's great to have the opportunity at the end just to be still and maybe go through some of the things that God's spoken to us. So before we go any further, I'm just going to pray and then we'll get underway. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. And we just invite you here, Holy Spirit, to be with us. We thank you, O God, that even before we got here, you've been preparing this space, that you've been preparing us in our weeks to receive what you have for us this morning. So, Father, we pray as all that you have for us, that we would be open to it. You give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord God, your leading and direction and the things that you have for us. So, Father, pray that that the words of the flesh would just fall, but Lord God, the words of the Spirit would just take root within us and just grow, Lord God, and help us to draw closer to you. We give all this to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the power of prayer. Charles Spurgeon, who's a theologian, and in his book Morning and Evening, he says, prayer is an open door which none can shut. Devils may surround you on all sides, but the way upward is always open, and as long as that road is unobstructed, you will not fall into the enemy's hands. It's a roundabout way, it's kind of saying that there's nothing that can stop you from praying. The enemy will try and stop you, but as long as you have a heart for it, as long as you have a desire for it, and as long as you have reason to have a connection with God and to chase after God, to draw near to him, nothing can stop that. And that's the power of prayer, that God will always hear you if you call out to him. That was Charles Spurgeon a few centuries back. We also hear about the power of prayer in the Bible. We have biblical promises of the power of prayer for you. I guess a few examples. Luke 11:9-13 says the following. Actually, if someone got their Bible with you, let's make this a bit more interactive. Anyone got a physical Bible? We're all on our phones, like me. If someone can look up how to be prepared, Psalm 34:15. So I'll read Luke 11:9-13. This kind of takes me back to youth days when we used to do memory verses and stuff. So Luke 11:9-13 says the following. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's 11, that's 9 and 10, and it goes on a little bit as well. Has anyone got Psalm 34:15? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Can you read it? Yes, please, Michaela.
The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help.
Thank you. And we have a couple of, they're just our promises, so foundations of the fact that God says that if we come to him, he hears us and he answers our prayers, not always in the way that we might think he should answer them, but he does answer our prayers and he hears our cry, as David says. And we have big biblical examples of people praying. So if you go Exodus 3:7, says the following. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their sufferings. So not only does God hear, but he's concerned with our, what we're sharing with him as well. And then we have 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says the following. Where are we? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I guess for me, they're just biblical examples of people throughout the Bible and in past times who have called out to God. I guess for me, personal examples as well. And I guess this is an example of how prayer doesn't always work out the way you think. A very real example. For those of you who don't know, so we had a daughter 2014. We were due to give birth to a daughter in 2014, but we did lose her to as a stillborn. But in the midst of all that, I guess our prayers were, God, please make this come about, because we knew there would be potential complications in the midst of the pregnancy. And our prayer was, God, please fix this so that this child would be healthy and well. And you know, from a selfish point of view, I guess a parent's point of view, that's what we wanted, and that was our prayer. And very clearly remember, I guess Elise, my wife and I, in the midst of all that, praying for that, and very clearly in separate occasions hearing that he will be okay, which was quite bizarre, because the condition that our daughter had in birth was, it could only happen with girls, and so we knew it was going to be a girl. And so for God to kind of say he will be okay was quite bizarre. So we kind of went through that process a little bit, and our daughter passed away. But when we fell pregnant, was it six months labour, and just in that moment we both knew that this was going to be a boy and he was going to be okay. I guess for me, that's the power of prayer in that moment was not that God worked it out in the way that we wanted, but the fact that God spoke to us and reassured us that he was with us in the midst of the storm, but also that he's got us on the other side, and there was a promise for us. So just wanted to encourage you that, you know, there is power in prayer, in that God hears and God answers, not always in the way that we might want him to answer, but he's in the midst and he's in that conversation. He wants us to be in conversation. He wants to hear the ins and outs, and we hear a little bit more from Rosemary as well about how we approach that. But I guess position is all about how we approach. Do we approach God with purpose and intent? Do we approach the conversation that we spoke about last week with purpose and intent, and just a desire for God to be involved? And the other thing to remember in the midst of all that is that prayer is alive. It's active. That it's not just something that we do out of habit. It's not just a religious ritual that we do, but prayer is that component of faith which makes it very real and active, and that we have an ongoing conversation with a living God who hears our cry, and that, you know, it's not something that's just dead, and we're not just praying to something that's, you know, inanimate. It's not God is not an inanimate object. God is real and alive, and he's a person, and he wants to be in conversation with us. So, and I, you know, some of this stuff people might know, and some of the things that we cover people might have experience of as well. But I'm just gonna invite Rosemary up to share with us a little bit her personal experience and thoughts on how we approach prayer. Thanks, Rosemary.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see you all. And it's good to see that you're interested in deepening your prayer life. Because, yeah, prayer is where it all starts, isn't it? It's the bedrock of the Christian faith, and it's where things change. So in this section, we're just going to look at the really practical side of deepening our prayer life. And, of course, we all pray, don't we? And you've all been praying for many years. I remember when, as a child, when my mother put me to bed, she would all lie in bed, and then she'd say the Lord's Prayer. and then would say another little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I don't know whether any of you know that. Yeah, some of you. That was. And so we'd just say those two little prayers and then we'd go to sleep. So we've been praying for a long time, haven't we? And often we get into a pattern of prayer that we just stick to and we fall into. And nothing much changes sometimes, you know, we just get locked in. So today I just want us to bring a fresh reminder to three simple steps that you'll know, but I just hope that something in it will speak to you today. Okay. Who actually likes to pray? Great. Okay, fantastic. Who finds it a bit of a challenge? I find it a challenge. I like to, but I find it a challenge to just really sit there quietly. I think someone last week talked about being still and not having all those things interrupting us, but just to sit there and really allow God to speak and to pour into me and for me to really hear what he has to say. So it is a challenge, but there's such benefits, isn't it? And don't give up, because it really does change things. It changes us. So, okay, we're just going to look at three simple steps. And the first very simple step is to have a meeting place. God wants us to have a meeting place with him. We know, of course, that we can pray anywhere and at any time, and that our conversation with God is continual and ongoing. But we also need a specific place to meet with the Father. A place that we regularly go to, that we can get away from the distractions. And when we think about that, you know, you think when you're meeting with a close friend, you often meet with them alone. You often have a special place that you meet up, a place that's away from others and where you can really connect. Well, God wants that sort of a place with us. And Jesus had a regular meeting place with the Father. He modelled this, didn't he? In the scriptures, he often, it says, habitually withdrew from the crowd to pray. In Mark 1, it says, early in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus left the house and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And then in Mark 6, Jesus says to us, you know, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father. In this meeting place with God, it's simple, but it's important, because it's a place where we can just stop, where we can rest in his embrace, as Jesus said, with our Abba, Father. It's a place where we can just receive, not just come in with our list, you know. I've always seemed to have a list, but I have to remind myself to just put that away, first of all, and just to rest with him. To encounter his presence, often it's just so beautiful, isn't it? Well, you just sit and then you just feel him there with you. Yeah, it's amazing. It's a place to refocus. It's a place to refuel. It's a place to be redirected. A place to be restored. It's a place where we can reconcile things with him within our own hearts. It's a place to transform. It's a place to seek forgiveness and shed our pride and pour out our heart. It's a place to go deeper, and it's a place to surrender all. Yeah. And God invites us to that place, doesn't he? Because in Revelation 3:20, that beautiful scripture, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." What a wonderful picture portrays of that intimate fellowship with God, of dining with the Creator of the world. Like, it's just amazing, isn't it? What the privilege we have in prayer. So God wants us, he calls us to a meeting place to deepen our relationship with him, and where he can reveal his heart to us, and where our heart can be changed and transformed. God cares about the condition of our heart. And that brings us to the second step, which is that when we come to God, he wants us to approach him with an open heart. And that's when our prayer life really starts to deepen, where we can just allow him to reveal things to us, to guide us and just to help us as we pray. in the Psalms, David pours out his heart, doesn't he, and tells us, and because he knew this, and he poured out his heart to God. In Psalm 51, David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." In Psalm 139, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David also knew, and in Psalm 66 he said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." So as we pray, as we come to that meeting place to pray, God wants us to have a humble heart. In James 4:7, it talks about how we draw close. It says, "So humble yourselves before God." And that's because, you know, prayer is a partnership, isn't it? It isn't just us sitting down, okay, we're doing this now. We're partnering with God in that, and we need to have that humble heart, because it's hard to work with pride, isn't it? And God wants us to work. Well, God wants to work with us. Okay, God wants us to have a heart ready to forgive. You know, as we sit down and pray, I'm often, as I sit down, I'm reminded, oh, yeah, I need to confess those angry words or that short temper or whatever. You know, I need to just, before him, confess and repent of what I've done and just reflect on that. And God loves it when we come with a heart ready to forgive others, to forgive ourselves, and to forgive God too sometimes. So it says in Mark 11, when you are praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. It's going to help us, isn't it, to deepen our prayer life. God wants a heart that's surrendered to him and all that he wants to do, to pray his will, not ours. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? Well, I do. We come in, I want this and I want that to happen, and then, yeah, no. I want what God wants in this circumstance. As hard as that can be sometimes, yeah. God wants us to have a heart that is faith-filled. In Mark 11:22, it says, "Have faith in God." That faith can move mountains. In James 5, it says, "The prayer of faith will save the sick." In Matthew 17, it says, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible." The Holy Spirit will grow in our prayer life according to our faith. And as we come with that faith, it pleases God. It pleases God. It says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to come with a believing heart, believing that you're going to receive what you pray for. Yeah. That's hard too sometimes, isn't it? Because there's some impossible things that often we come wanting God to do, but he wants us to come believing that he can do all things, and he can. Sometimes not in our way, but I've found that God's ways are, as I'm sure you all have, they're so much better than ours. Yeah, he knows the end from the beginning, and he wants us to believe from the beginning that he can do it, and he will. He wants us to come with an obedient heart, to obey his promptings, to be teachable, to trust him. You know, as we pray, trust that he, not only that he answers us and he hears, but he's going to move in and through. And he wants us to come with a heart that's going to be steadfast and earnest, and it's not going to give up. It's going to continue to pray until that breakthrough comes. Until we just have a peace in our heart, or a word, like she said, or a promise of what to expect, what's next. In Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. And in Romans 12, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And lastly, to come with a thankful heart. Yeah. As we open our hearts and lives to the Lord, he helps us change, and our prayer life deepens. And we can become a catalyst in the world for change too. Last step is let the Holy Spirit lead, and we've sort of talked about this before, but in our prayer time, he does lead us as we sit with him, and sometimes just a small prompting of what he wants us to do, but it so enriches us in our prayer life just coming and sitting still at that and waiting in silence is great. Or, you know, sometimes he leads us to quietly worship him. I find that that's what happens with me as I sit with the Lord of a morning, just a song will drop in my head and I'll just start to sing to him. And it sounds really silly on your own singing, but it's what I love to do. And it helps me enter in to his presence more and to encounter him. Another thing as we sit with him, to let the Holy Spirit lead us to pray in the Spirit. And this is really important, and to pray in the Spirit, because it does a number of things. It builds up our inner man and helps us deepen our prayer life. But it's scriptural and it's really necessary. And I'd really recommend if people are sort of forgetting about doing that, to really get into praying in the Spirit. It is powerful and it's really necessary. It says in Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. And in Ephesians 6, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It strengthens us personally in the Lord. Years ago, at a previous church, Jackie Pullinger came. I don't know whether any of you know. She was an amazing woman that went to Hong Kong and did amazing things in the real down-and-out drug area. And it was a fierce area that she was into. She had a team with her. And she wouldn't let any of them go out and minister before they had prayed in the Spirit for like half an hour. She just like, no. You just have to spend time with God in that space. Another way the Holy Spirit leads us, of course, is through His Word. As we read our word, as we read His Word in that prayer time, and He leads us to the Scripture that's so apt for us at that time. And just God is so faithful in doing that time and time again. So, yeah, open His Word. Don't just think it's about praying; it's about reading and interacting, because He's speaking to us, isn't He, through His Word. And, let the Holy Spirit lead us as we pray for people, and He'll prompt us to pray for people specifically or earnestly. Sometimes it's just one person that day He wants us to pray for, or one circumstance, not other things. So just let the Holy Spirit lead. It's so important to be sensitive to that, and it really does deepen our prayer life. Okay, Keisha.
Thank you for sharing, Rosemary. And I guess one of the key things out of that is Rosemary's had a lot of experience, but that's her being able to build up her conversation with God and just different ideas or different key things that we might be able to change and shift in our focus and mindset to approach God differently, to approach prayer differently, that it's, you know, it's not just that thing that we tick off and do at the end of the night before we go to bed. But it is a conversation, it's an ongoing conversation, that if we start getting those things right in terms of that we have our heart right, that we are in conversation with God and led by the Holy Spirit as well, that we're getting all those things correct, it means that when we have conversations throughout the day with God, that we're right before Him. We're not just kind of going to Him when things are going wrong. Or when I need a car park at Southland, kind of thing. So at Christmas time, Yeah. funnily enough, I was in the morning before the service having a conversation with someone. And he was kind of, and then, you know, I'd been praying for them this week, and they're like, oh, it's funny. I didn't think it would work, but my week's actually been better. And kind of having that conversation with them to the point, so they're very new to the whole prayer thing, and they were asking, or they were kind of going, well, I don't want to make prayer a thing where I just make God a genie. And that's, you know, really, really key, and that's someone who's kind of still exploring the whole God thing and new to it. And it was just a great reminder, and I think these things that Rosemary's shared with us in terms of having a meeting place, that we get our heart right and that we are led by the Spirit, that means that we're actually intentional about our conversation and our time with God. It's, we're making it special. we're prioritizing God and our time with Him as we should. We're not just tagging it on at the end of the day because we've done everything else that we need to do, and so we've got a little bit of time before the day finishes. And I think for me, by practicing those things and getting our attitudes and our heart right, it means that all the other times that I have a conversation with God, it's purposeful and intentional, that I can stop in the middle of the day and still have a conversation with God, and it's purposeful. It's not just me going to God when something's gone wrong. He wants to be involved. He wants to be in the midst of everything with us. Coming out of that, you know, there are, I guess, different models, if you like to call it, of how we might be able to apply that. Some of them you might know. So Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 6:9 when the disciples asked him. They didn't, and I think one of the things that were highlighted was that they didn't ask him how they can perform miracles. The thing that they asked him was, how then should we pray? And Jesus gave them a model or an example, a very simple way of how then they should pray. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And in that model itself contains some key components. Is that we... which I guess there's another model which comes out of that, which is it's called ACTS, which stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, which is bringing a request to God. So adoration, even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are so great, God. Your kingdom come, your will be done." And it's asking for God's will to be done here on earth, in our situation, in our circumstance, for God to come and have his way. Confession in the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us today, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And Rosemary touched on forgiveness, and I think the importance of that, it's not just about us feeling better about it and letting go of things, but it's acknowledging who we're before. We're before a holy God. Yes, we're before our God, our Father, but before God who is holy, and he can't have anything that's unholy in his midst. So forgiveness and confession is about acknowledging that we're not perfect and giving it to God and letting go of those things so that we can be in his midst and continue to be in his midst. Thanksgiving, it's about giving thanks to God for what we have, that we have our daily bread, we have a roof over our head, we have our very breath that we wake up with every morning. And supplication, yeah, it is that last part, which is in the Lord's Prayer, which asks God for our needs, and it's you know, God's concerned with everything, where we're at, everything that's going on in our life, but he's also concerned with the things that we need. Jesus said, you know, that we are not to worry about or be anxious about tomorrow, because the birds of the air and the flowers of the field are dressed, and God is concerned with them and they're looked after. So how much more are we looked after and is God concerned with? So those are just a couple of very basic models, but at the same time, they're there to, I guess, give us a platform for our own prayer life, for our own times with God. They're not a strict, hard and fast, this is the only way that you can pray. Jesus himself said, this then is how you should pray as a starting point. As a starting conversation point. And the Lord's Prayer has become something that we can all go to. It's for the most part. And for some people who aren't even of a faith, know the Lord's Prayer, because it's something that's said around so often. But it became something that people could come together and pray without the need for a book or a bit of paper. And we're talking about times where people didn't have a whole library of books or things. It was all verbal, it was oral tradition, so that's how things were passed on. So it gave people a way that they could come together and pray, knowing when they said, okay, let's say the Lord's Prayer, everyone knew what they were going to pray together. So it lent to that corporate prayer as well. So You know, what are some other things that we can do in our time with God? And I think, I don't know if we've included in with that handout, but some of the other things that you can do is journal. So in your time, it's a conversation with God, so you can actually write down the things that, that God might reveal to you, that God might speak to you directly, the promises. And it, I encourage you, for the promises that God gives you, write them down. And then you'll be surprised as time goes on, as years go on, how many of those promises God actually fulfills. It might not be tomorrow, but God has his timing and his purpose. And you might surprise yourself as you keep, if you write those things down, that you might be able to check some things off as the years go on. Pray scripture. God's given us his word already. He's already speaking to us through his word. So yeah, there are promises in there which we can stand on. There are, you know, go through the Psalms and we can, it's so relatable, the Psalms, that, you know, pray through scripture and use scripture for prayer. Devotionals are a really good way, a good starting point. I don't know if anyone has the Bible app. You can find a devotional for almost anything in the app. But there's some really great devotionals for prayer in there. There's one called Grow in Prayer, which I kind of did leading up into this, which was really good and really helpful. Some picks up on some really key insights. There's one called it's Oswald Chambers. I think it's Up My Utmost for His Highest. Is a really good one. Some of the other ones that Rosemary's talked written out, the Streams and Jesus is Calling. Do you know who they by any chance, Rosemary? Those devotionals.
I think Streams is a very long one. You can get that online as well too. You can actually get them
if you just Google Streams
Jesus
devotional.
Just a simple devotional.
Yeah.
I think it's by Sarah Young.
Okay. Yeah. We have Google, so feel free to Google those ones. There's also Streams and Jesus is Calling is some other devotionals. And devotionals are really there to give you a starting point. It's not, again, it's not a hard and fast, but they're there just to get you something to start. Start your prayer time or whatever, so that from there you can,
it
can
just
extend it out.
Framework. It's
great.
A great framework.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you don't know what to do. So this is the framework, and
absolutely,
then it can become personalised.
Yeah.
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 That's good too.
Any other things that people use or go to help them in their prayer life or going into that time of just really being intentional? Feel free to share.
Worship.
Music.
Yeah.
And it's you know, that's also, it's okay if it's not your thing. For a lot of people, it's an easy way of just switching off and just, I guess, connecting in with God. But for some people, music isn't that thing. So find whatever it is that helps you, I guess, remove yourself from all the stuff that's going on in your mind or your day or what's been troubling you. In the hour that you've been home or whatever it is. Just all these things are just ways of being able to just realign yourself, give yourself a framework to then kind of go, okay, right, I'm here for you, God. I'm here to meet with you. I'm here to have a conversation with you. Let's go. Some people have a personal time of communion as well, and just understanding that this is what God has done for us. This is a sacrifice. Okay, God, I'm coming before you, and it is that idea of having a meal, and it's a very holy meal, but understanding it's what Jesus did with his disciples before, you know, he was taken to the cross. He had that Last Supper, that very intentional time of sharing with them, this is what's going to happen, this is who I am, remember me. Fasting. I know the blokes have, like I mentioned last week, the blokes have gone through a time of prayer fasting and being silent. Fasting's another great way of just focusing on the things that we normally go to or our vices that we might have, to kind of go, right, just going to, and in those moments when we go to reach for those things, to kind of go, right, I'm just going to stop. I'm fasting from this. I'm just going to focus on God. And increase your meeting times with God. I think Rosemary shared about the meeting place, and for me, it is very much that thing of when there's someone that we really want to be with, we want to be around them more than what we, you know, more than the times that we get to do it. Those of us who've, I don't know, if you've gone out with someone for the very first time and you're really intentional and you want to be around with them 24/7, it is like that. You know, it talks about God being our first love, and that when we give our life to Him, when we, become followers of Christ, that we don't forget God as our first love, that we make time for Him, that He's someone that we want to be with, because as much as we're giving of our time, what He has for us is so much more, and just desiring to be in His presence. And whatever that place is, sometimes people just need to be out in nature, out at the beach, going for a run, and just being with God, because you just enjoy His presence. And pray with others. Like I said, Friday morning prayer, Tuesday evenings, every second Tuesday when life groups aren't on, just come and be with God as much as you're doing with others, but just come and spend time. And you never know, God might speak to you through other people as well. Yeah, so it's just encourage you to do that. So I'm just going to quickly go into the next 10 minutes, have a bit of intentional time. I'm going to pray, play for those who are visual, for those who like music. It's about 4 or 5 minutes of just a song, and I don't know. Some of you might know this song. I thought it was a little bit older, but
what are you saying?
No, I'm not saying anything. it's got some really I don't know. There's a movie out about it at the moment as well. It's called I Can Only Imagine. And it's
Mercy Me.
Mercy Me. It's written by Bart Millard as well. So let me put this in. So I encourage you for the next 10 minutes, a little bit of it will be with this music there too, is to is anyone cold? Are you okay?
Yes.
Good. I'll switch that on.
I'm fine.
Feel free to stay where you are. You can kind of move your chairs around a little bit because you'll still be able to hear the music. But just see what God has for you. Just be still in His presence, and then I'll pray at the end of it. Heavenly Father, we just come before You, and for some of us this might have been the first time this whole week that we've just been able to stop and just be in Your presence. So Lord God, we just thank You. We thank You that You are so gracious towards us, that even the little time we make for You is so important, and You still meet with us. Lord, I just thank You for the things that You've brought to our minds, the things that have been new over these last couple of weeks of looking at how we position ourselves with intent, Lord God, with a greater desire to meet with You, to seek Your face. Father, pray that You'd help us, that Your Holy Spirit would lead us to meet with You more, to grow our conversation and our prayer life with You. We thank You, O God, that You are not distant, but that you are alive and you desire to be close to us, that you, as your word says, that you will draw near to us when we draw near to you. So Father, pray that as we finish up in this series, Lord God, that it will just be a starting point and a launching pad for some of us just to be more intentional and to desire you more, to deepen our personal prayer life, Lord God, so that we can just be in your presence. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you've done, and then Holy Spirit, just thank you for what you will do. I give you all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 27:8 in the New Living Translation says, "My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" So I encourage you to take that psalm with you and just seek God with everything that you have, and just see the conversations that he wants to have with you. Remember that we have the privilege of approaching God and calling him Abba, Father, and that we're heirs, that we're sons and daughters of the living God, that we have the privilege of and can have a conversation and a prayer life, because it's an active and real time with him in his spirit, to set a meeting place as you would with any loved one, and to check your heart and be led by his spirit, so that you would know his ways as well.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.